What up, Donut Squad, and welcome to
Holy Matrimony, a podcast where we have the whole conversation about the humor,
holiness,
and hardships of marriage.
I'm Daniel Glaze.
And I'm Anna Glaze.
And we are that Catholic couple.
And today's episode is a good one. We talk about how friendship dating is a thing, especially once you're married. Building friendships can be hard, and we talk about the different stages of them.
Especially as a married couple and how nuts it is.
Yeah.
And we also talk about how awesome the freaking amazing show This Is Us is. And I honestly think we get a little bit too detailed about what we like and don't like about the show. But other than that, this is a great episode.
Enjoy. Okay, Daniel, what have you got for us?
I'm excited to talk about today's topic because it's something that we really haven't had a chance to truly unpack, mm-hmm. and I'm very excited to unpack it here on the podcast.
Okay, I'm ready.
Essentially, I want to talk about community. And I'm talking like our specific community, but also kind of the grander idea of what it means to have a community as a married couple and individually as husband and wife. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it's a married couple. As myself and as yourself, having your own brotherhood and sisterhood.
Right.
Because having
our own brotherhood and sisterhood.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So let me start off with this question. Do you have one best friend? Do you have one best friend that you've had your entire life?
No.
I wouldn't say I did either. Do you think, or do you, have you had friends throughout different phases of your life?
Yes. So I can say that I've had a best friend that later just became a friend to maybe later just became like a close acquaintance.
Or you know, somebody like that
drifts
like,
apart or.
Yeah. Or like somebody that like, cause I know my best friend from high school, Juwan.
You're right.
I could pick up with him literally where we left off last.
Right.
Because I've known him for so long.
Right. But you don't carry that friendship with you like all of the time. It's exactly. More so the like it didn't end, you know, broken. There were no broken bridges. There was broken relationship. It's just you just drifted apart and naturally it happened.
Well, I mean, just drifted alongside of each other. Not like apart. We're not friends anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So because one of the things that I think you and I have talked about. Actually, I know we've talked about it multiple times, is feeling like we don't have our people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say our people, I mean the ones that, the ones that like always come over, we always talk to.
Right.
We have a few of those that don't live near us. Because I also kind of want to tread lightly because I don't want to offend any of our friends that we currently have.
Right.
Especially with the door or even some of our old friends and the older community that we lived at previously to moving in Houston. But I do really want to talk about those two communities as well.
Well, so I have a clarifying question.
Okay.
When we say our people and I guess even this is going to be so funny. Like, what is the definition of community? Because I feel like even our definition of friendships, our definition of community, of our people has changed over the years. And I think not a lot of people talk about how to develop friendships as a married couple. And yeah. Because I think your friendships looked very different. Our friendships look very different at every stage of life, right?
Yeah.
So like when you're a kid, it looks very different than when you're in college. It looks very different from when you get married. And so I think it's more so that maybe friendship is like on a spectrum or some kind of, you know, fluctuating.
Everything's on a spectrum now.
I know.
Literally everything. Like your eyeballs are on a spectrum. I'm just kidding. I'm just, that made, well, made no
that
sense.
That made no sense. But
I fully agree with what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Or maybe not a spectrum, but they're just like ever changing.
Yeah.
The definition of friendship is ever changing in your life. I don't know where to go from there, but I'm just interested
in hearing
how this conversation is going
to
go.
Okay. Here's what I would like to do. I would like to dissect the three phases of our marriage so
we
far.
We've had multiple.
Our multiple marriages. And I guess it's literally our 3 years that we've been married. And the first year was.
Oh, that's so funny.
It really is.
That's really funny. That's right.
Well, the first phase was what I would consider the strongest community that we've been a part of. And it was with two other married couples. Those were our people.
Yes. And they still are. We've just moved away. Like, yeah. They all moved.
We live closer to one of them now, but the other one literally moved across the state.
Yeah.
And we still talk to them all the time. And I would actually still consider those two couples our people.
Right.
But they're not the come over whenever you want, babysit our kids whenever you want, swap right. babysitting, date nights together kind of people.
Right.
Well, they are that kind of people. They're not our kind of people. But they like, are they're not our here. Kind of
like, stop. I know, like, distance is hard. Yeah.
It really is.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I have a thought on that, too.
Go ahead.
Like, well, community is built on proximity.
Absolutely.
So then that also throws in a whole wrench in awesome friendships that you might have people who are your people and that you claim. But then what happens when they move? What happens when you aren't together? You know, and does the community, can the community last?
Well, and that's where... I think while you and I have felt here recently, or not even recently, but since after we moved away from Houston the first time, why we don't have our people, mm-hmm. because we had our people.
Yeah.
We did have our people.
Well, and one of the best pieces of advice that I ever got when I was married was that some of your best friends will actually develop when you become married, because you and your husband will make friends with people who actually know you and your husband together. You know what I mean? Like, where it's like, it's a joint effort to create friendships. It's not just like my friendships from college kind of now bringing them into married life. And Dino just has to put up with my friends now, or vice versa. And not put up. That sounds a little harsh, but like, just like you have to learn how to be friends with me or with me and my friends. You know what I mean? Like, yes, you're the third wheel in our friendship now.
But you also have to relearn that once you're married.
Right. But some of your strongest friendships, I think, in marriage, and I don't think a lot of people talk about this, are built as a married couple. Like,
yes,
no, people that know both you and your husband and know your kids. Like, it's so important. I want to also talk about, but we don't have to talk about it right now, but what I said earlier today. Do you remember what I said when I was in the shower?
No.
And I was like, oh, don't you hate that it's like dating all over again?
Oh yeah,
like I just
say that. Say
it's
that.
Like,
I
the,
like it.
It's like the friend game, dating. Like the date, like I'm dating all over again. Where I was literally, in the bathroom, and I told Daniel, "Oh my gosh, I want to find friends," but I was talking about someone that we know that I've just been getting to know better, and I'm just like, I just really hope we can start a friendship because I really enjoy her and I enjoy her company and stuff.
But it feels like dating. But because
it feels
you're
like dating again. Because I'm like,
you've done that with another person before.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, okay, well, we're not doing it anymore because we broke up as friends. But like,
or maybe not broke up as friends, but there's like a point where you're just like, I don't know if this friendship's gonna work out anymore. Yeah. And it's just, it's so interesting how. Yeah, you become a husband or a wife, you become a father or a mother, and your perspective on life changes. And so it's not as easy to just like be an extrovert, because we're also natural extroverts. So it's just like, it's not as easy to go out and just put yourself out there. It's like, now I really have to choose who I want to be intentional with. And it's hard because it takes effort on both parts, right? Like on us and on the people that we're building friendships with.
Absolutely. That's partly why I wanted to break down the three specific parts of our marriage when it comes to friendships, because I think we started off with what we wanted, and then we went to what we thought we wanted and ended up not being what we wanted. And now we're at a place where we can essentially grasp at what we want, but this is going to sound weird.
It's like freaking dating. You're literally describing like you date this guy. You say, no, I don't really like this guy. So you check off what you don't want. And then you say like, okay, well, this is what I do want. And then you try to go with the person that does do it. But then you're like, I don't know if I want that. Like,
you're
it's
fine.
Silly, but no, it's real.
It's a great analogy. It really is.
Friendship dating is real.
It is. Well, and the thing is like, so I'm going to get very specific right now because we're a part of a community called Adorn here in Houston. Right. And I would say collectively, this is our people.
Mm-hmm.
Like overall, their mindset about life, their mindset about family, their mindset about community, their mindset about their neighbor, the mindset about their life of joy, like all of that is 100% in line with who we are.
Right.
But what we did when we first got married, of being friends with those two other couples and like becoming couple friends, is what this community has been doing for as long as they've been a community.
Right.
So we're walking into it.
We're late. Yeah.
And we're kind of late to the game. Yeah. Exactly. And, in no way are they not accepting. In no way are they, because we could literally go over to any of their houses right now and they would accept us and love us and let us live there forever. Honestly, if we asked. So in no way am I saying that a door is not our people. Mm-hmm. But even within a door, we don't necessarily have our own people, if right. that makes sense.
Right. We still feel, even though we've been here for almost 6 months now, we still feel a little bit, yeah, like we showed up late to the game. We don't know the backstories to a lot of these friendships. We don't know a lot of the jokes or the history and the memories. We're still
still building those, our own of those up with them.
Right. But it doesn't feel like we're walking in at the same time. And I think that's what was so beautiful in our first year of marriage is that these other two couples were also just starting off in their marriage for the most part. Like, they were also still brand new parents. We were newlyweds. Like, we were all in very young phases of our marriage that, like, we were able to hold to each other and just say, like, this is awesome. Like, tell me how y'all are going through this and how it. And so, yeah, there's a lot of wisdom to having a good community with a lot of people from different stages. But then there's also something beautiful about, like, finding some people that are just in the same place that you are, that you can walk with, right? Yeah. And I think that's right now what we're feeling is that we love the community we're with, the people that we're at. Even our parish is awesome. Like, there are so Absolutely. Many people there that we can start growing in friendship with. But yeah, there's just something really beautiful about walking.
Yeah, because we're like stuck in this interesting limbo, especially at our parish, where we're, I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're at least either one of four or the youngest couple at the daycare program that Lily's a part of.
Oh, yeah, we haven't met a lot of young parents. I was actually kind of surprised.
Yes.
Because a lot of these kids are Lily's age, but I think the parents are like, well, they're on their third or fourth kid, so it's not their first.
Yeah.
Or they got married later, and their kids are Lily's age, and so they're starting off, but they're in a different, completely different part of their careers. Like, they're just
done with their career.
Right, or like finances. When we're still figuring out what we want to do. Yeah.
So it's like we can bond over our kids' age, but we can't necessarily bond over like life
experience.
Or like life stage. That's what I was looking for. And I wish that I kind of would have had a best friend my entire life, you know, like,
but I don't know if that's possible. Like, I mean, and I think that's why I asked the question at the beginning, like, how do we define that? And is it even to take it a step further? Is it even a realistic thing to want or to achieve? Do you know a lot of people that have friendships that they've just like been able to hold on forever? And it just, you do?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I don't know that many people.
That's because
they
planted roots and they stayed. Like, that's why I'm really excited to stay here and not go anywhere so Lily can have these lifelong friends that, granted, once they get into college, they might separate and never see each other again. But, like, I would say that even, like, going back to Jawan, like, I would still consider him one of my best friends. Granted, I haven't, like, had a full-on conversation with him for a while. But, like, I could still go back to Jawan and, like, pick up where we left off.
So, but question... You also grew a lot in your faith in college. And I don't even know if Jawan is listening. So I want to make sure I don't like offend him either. But I think in college, you also grow so much, whether spiritually, you know, academically, you start growing and as an adult and becoming an adult, that sometimes you feel like these friends that you carry with you, just aren't on the same page anymore. And again, I think Jawan, you can pick up where you left off, but I just don't know if let's say you and Jawan did live in the same city, we lived right down the block from each other, like you guys did, would you be able to dive as deep?
I think there would be a spiritual block because, I mean, we're not the same religion. We're not the same spiritual wavelength. What?
Okay. I want to say I disagree.
Oh, okay.
Because that's what we thought was going to happen when we moved back to our college friends.
And I'm so confused on what you're saying.
Okay. Right. Okay. So I guess what I'm saying is if you planted roots and stayed in the same city with one of your high school best friends, you feel like your friendship could just go deeper or like continue to grow. I guess the phrase to describe is continue to grow. Is that
sure?
Is that what you're saying?
Probably. Yeah. Where are you going with this?
My question is, or my point is that I disagree because we tried to do that with some of our college friends who we also thought were our best friends. And again, yeah, not trying to throw anyone under the bus or like, I hope it doesn't come off as offensive, but like, we love these people and we still love them very much, but we moved back. We literally moved back to our college town to be around some of these people that we thought were going to be lifelong friends, only to come to realize that I think it's hard to pick up where you left off because you're not the same person as you were when you were in that place. Like,
yeah,
you know, you hope that you can and your intentions are good on both ends of like, I want to make our friendship work, but you're different people. You're married. You have children. You're raising families and your morals change. Like your viewpoint on life changes. You realize that parenthood is sorry. You realize that parenting styles might be different. You realize that marriage styles might be different and nothing is bad. You're still upholding the same morals and beliefs of even your faith, but you just can't go back. Like you just can't go back to the people that you were in college and dive as deep as you could because you're not the same person.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like I feel like I rambled.
No, it makes complete sense. No. Okay. I get what you're saying. And I think to boil up this entire thing is that community is a hard thing to find now. Mm-hmm. It really does involve a intentional lifestyle, not necessarily adjustment, but like, I guess like commitment or some sort of like common goal that the community, and even if it's three married women, what am I saying? Three married couples agree on and work towards.
Right.
Because that's what we had. And that's what I wish we still did.
Right.
And once again, not at all saying I love Adore. Everything about it. Right. And I'm so happy we're a part of it. But I wish there was even a cluster within that that could be our people.
Right. I mean, we just haven't cultivated.
Yeah. And finding friends that are married couples that are living out their faith like we are and really understand what it means to live in a community is really hard to come by.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. Friendships are hard. Community is hard. But I think once you find it, like you should definitely try to keep it for as long as you can.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Now I'm like, we shouldn't have moved. We should have invested in the three couples we were best friends with. Yeah, like, or two couples we were best friends with. But I mean, again, God had plans for our family.
And we're at such a good spot right now.
Yeah. This wouldn't have happened if we hadn't moved, you know, and come back. And, you know, yeah, there's so many things that I'm like, I can't look back on life and just think of regrets or anything like that. All of the friendships and the people that we've known in our life are awesome.
Yes.
And have benefited us in one way or another.
And this is not personal towards anybody.
No. Exactly. No, not at all. We see everyone with love still. So.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm excited for the freestyle. Do you know what you're going to talk about yet?
I think.
Okay, cool. We'll figure it out. But we want to take a quick break to say thank you so much to our patrons over at thedonutsquad.com. This week's Patreon exclusive podcast is going to be the story behind the one video that we've taken down and how crazy it was that, you need to hear the story. It's insane. And if you want to hear that, once again, please go over to thedonutsquad.com. All right. It's now time for Anna's first attempt at giving us a freestyle. Freestyle Friday. All right, spit your bars.
Okay, our favorite TV show is back.
Oh, this is us. What about it? Okay.
So I feel like we've already done a video about this. So I want to make sure that don't say just the same things. I want to expand on why do we love NBC's This Is Us.
ABC.
Not ABC.
I've never seen that show.
No, don't know what ABC is. The song? why do we love This Is Us so much?
Okay, let me start with what I don't like.
Okay,
so,
good.
So, I'm not a big fan of the character Kate.
Okay.
Just because, there's so many reasons why. If I had to be very honest, I'm kind of already over the IVF story plot because like that has been like the main thing this like the last like
so this
three
is our
episodes.
Opinion sorry don't mean to cut you off I apologize but this is our opinion of the show as Catholics, both the good and the bad, right? Like how are we watching this?
I mean, yeah,
show?
I guess, yeah, probably.
Okay, so you hate the IVF thing?
Well, I don't hate it. I get that a lot of couples use it. As Catholics, we obviously don't condone it, but like, it has been the driving narrative, and for some reason, like, I was hoping that the driving narrative would really be Jack's time in Vietnam, and that for some reason is taking a back seat, and they're probably going to wrap it up in such a beautiful way that they always freaking do.
Right.
But I was so excited. Like, they built it up to be, this is going to be like the season where you learn about the story of Jack in Vietnam, and we haven't seen anything the past like three episodes.
Yeah. Not yet. Yeah. Yeah. They're taking a little long.
To yeah, exactly.
Get to the point, right? Like, or like get to
the story of Jack in Vietnam. And I want to know that story. Like, his brother died. Like, how? Why?
Right.
And it's kind of cool seeing the behind the Jack that we come to know with his dad and like him. I guess we're going to say spoiler alerts.
Oh, right? Yeah. We need to ring a spoiler alert bell right now.
Yeah, exactly. So if you haven't heard it, sorry. If you have, follow along. I love the fact that he made his mom leave his dad. I was like, hell yeah. Like, that's such a good thing.
But I guess, so let's try to stay away from specific spoilers.
Okay.
And just talk about, like, the general show. Okay. Like, okay, so we're over IVF. We're over Kate a little bit. I think she's just a little whiny.
She's so selfish in so many things.
Yeah. But so then there's a part of me that's like, okay, like all of them are flawed. They all have their freaking wounds. Like,
yeah,
totally
how
get
can
it.
All of this bad crap happen to one family?
I know. But sometimes it feels like that. Like, and I think maybe that's why, one of the reasons why we do love the show so much. Let's get back to the why we love it. We'll go back to the reasons why we don't love it. But the reasons why we do love it, which outweigh the negatives, I think is because it does show how, as a family, sometimes you feel like you have so much shit. And sorry if there's little ears around, but there's so much crap that happens to a family that can happen to a family. And so you're just like, how is this happening to one family? And I think families out there are like, no, this stuff can and will and does happen.
Well, and the show is over an entire, like, generation of lifetime.
Right. And,
like,
we're going to get to see into the future too. So
yeah,
like,
when
goes
they brought
into
that twist in last season, I was like, that's awesome.
I'm so excited. Yeah. Cause then it shows everything. It shows the entirety of the family.
Well, and I think I wouldn't call this the best representation of a family on TV, but it definitely is one of the
best.
Was
it Good Times? Good Times was
good
the best.
That was actually a great show.
So good.
And that actually might've been a better representation of at least
Black families, black communities back in the 70s.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I would just say in general, because, like, we're not talking about Good Times now.
It's such a good show, though.
It is a great show, though. It is definitely one of the best representations of what a loving family looks like. Mm-hmm. Like a family that puts family ahead of most other things.
Issues. Drama.
Because even Kevin has come to realize that too. Mm-hmm. Even though he's put other stuff in front of his family.
Yeah. Yeah. I stutter on the words. I think it does such a good job of representing all of the good, all of the bad.
You take them both in there. You have
the facts
of life.
Another great show.
The facts of life.
And I also think it is a very well-made show. The storytelling is great.
Oh, it's so good.
Like,
how can they freaking, in the last 15 seconds of almost every episode, blow my mind?
And make you cry.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I haven't cried yet because I'm a man.
Yeah,
but,
whatever.
Because I never cry, period. It's not going to be macho man. I just never cry.
Because he's a man.
Because I'm a man. The fact that they did it the very first episode and they can do it almost every single episode later is nuts.
I just don't get it. I get it, but, like, I don't get how they keep doing that.
Yeah.
What are some other things that you personally don't like? So we talked about the IVF. We talked about Kate.
Well, let's talk about what I still like.
Oh, okay.
I love Sterling K. Brown.
Oh, yeah. He's like,
is
great.
So good. And Milo.
I think the casting for the show,
and
too.
Mandy, yeah.
All of the casting was, like, honestly, really perfect. Such a great blend of, like, gifts and talents.
Yeah.
Which is fun to see too, from, like, the humanity perspective. I'm like, all of these actors are amazing. I still think Sterling K. Brown is the best, but I'm like, Milo the kid actors were cast, like, they were cast so
well. Well, even like Randall's kids, like, they're such good actors.
Oh, good. Yeah. So they just did a really good, it feels like they took the time to create just, like, a really good show, and it's not just another show to like mindlessly, right? Like mindlessly entertain you. This one's actually bringing you into a conversation almost. And I know it sounds cheesy because I always do the TJ Maxx commercials after every episode that I'm like, okay, yeah, like we'll have a conversation as a family.
Yeah.
But it's perfect because it totally, like, everyone belongs to a family.
Yes.
Everyone has parents. Everyone has siblings. Well, yeah, you mostly have siblings. Like, everyone understands to a certain degree what a family should look like, what a family does look like. Yeah, they just thought about it so well that at the end of every episode, you can sit back and say, like, man, like, actually have a conversation. I rambled and repeated it. But it's okay. Yeah, like, just have a conversation.
No, just the storytelling in this series, like, I don't know if you know this about me, but like one of my biggest, like, I guess critiques or like one of the I always want a through line, right? When it comes to stories, like there needs to be essentially like a cause and effect. Like the point that you create on the pilot needs to be wrapped up by a specific time, within the seasons. Like if you bring a storyline in, you need to follow it through, and that through line needs to be there. And the way they do their through lines is nuts.
Yeah.
It is so good.
Yeah.
I think I remember just like doing the research on This Is Us because I'm so freaking obsessed with that. I freaking love the show. Like the fact that the producers know the entire story of this family and they're just like slowly like revealing certain parts of it. Like that's so good.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Am I correct in saying that the producers have said that is going to be a specific amount of seasons?
Right? Yes, I don't think they're going past a certain amount. I think it's not meant to keep going. Yeah. It's meant to just tell a story, which I think is so good too. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I love that. Do you think as a man, like as a man, is there anything profoundly striking? Because obviously for us women, it's like the emotions are definitely high up on there.
Yeah.
So you're just like watching and your own freaking father wounds probably come up, or your own, you know, just sibling wounds or mother wounds, and like comparison with your mother. Like, I cry Kate and Rebecca. Mandy,
Her character.
But as a man, is there anything in particular that like you have found striking that they've been able to?
That's a very good question.
Stir up your heart as a guy.
Well, I mean, Milo's love for his family and like just like. It's so cool because what?
No, it's so good. Stop. I'll tell you in a bit.
Well, you're supposed to provide and protect, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously lead your family to heaven. But I don't think I've seen a better protective father than Milo on TV.
Jack.
Jack is so good. Like, I do think there are times where he doesn't necessarily stick his foot in his mouth, but like thinks he's doing the right thing, but isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, but like the conviction he still does it with is like, all right, let's see where this goes. You know, I think it's really awesome to see a vulnerable father in Randall. He's very like honest and open. Kinda. I think he still has his personal stuff to deal with, like with his anxiety, but you don't see that in a lot of fathers in general.
Right.
You know, like they're like, I can't think of a father that has had a panic attack in my life. And I guarantee you there are tons of fathers who have had a panic attack in their life. They're just too strong to share it.
Right. Or too afraid to share it. Maybe not too strong. That's because, what I'm
just saying. Let me just say too stubborn headed to share it.
Too stubborn. Yeah. Or too reserved. Yeah.
Because even in that conversation with Toby and Randall of like, wait, you've got depression? Wait, you've got anxiety? I never thought you'd do that because, man.
Because men don't talk about this.
And
right?
I think the show has done a good job of, exploring the different kinds of families and the different kinds of roles.
Fatherhood?
And fatherhoods, yeah. I mean, well, and motherhoods as well.
Right.
That, like, Randall needs to take an understanding and, like, Randall needs to understand that it's not all about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Beth hopefully will do that.
So do you think that the show has romanticized Jack? This is such a niche conversation too. So sorry if you don't watch This Is Us and you're completely lost, but you should go watch it.
Yes.
But yeah. So do you think that they romanticized Jack and like his portrayal because he passed away?
What do you mean by that?
Like, do you think they've made him out to look too good and perfect because that's everyone's memory of him because they only want to keep the good stuff?
Are you talking about the characters thinking about this way or the show? Because the show has not shown him to be a perfect dad.
Yeah, true.
The alcoholism and him fighting with Rebecca and buying things.
Now we're going to see the trauma, like the PTSD come out and maybe how he reacts to certain things.
I think that they have not romanticized him. It's just they lost their father and they want to continue to keep him alive in some way. Mm. And I do think that, there might be some kind of reality checks that need to happen. Because right. I actually believe that episode where they talk about him being an alcoholic and Kevin goes back into rehab.
It's the best.
It was episode. That was such a good scene of them fighting in therapy. And
but Jack praying.
Oh, Jack praying as well. But I've been more so of when Kevin was like, Kate, why do you think you're addicted to food? Like, why do you think I'm addicted to alcohol? Because our dad was an addict. Mm. And they kind of brushed that aside. And I wish they kind of, well, I guess the show kind of dived into that.
Yeah.
But yeah, him praying, I wish. Do you remember what I did when he bent down and started praying or knelt down and started praying the St. Francis prayer?
What did you, I don't remember.
Do you remember what I did?
No.
I stood up and I threw my pillow into my couch, under the couch. And I was like, hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
If you show a father praying, do it.
Yeah.
And then it didn't go anywhere.
I know. That was a little sad. That was a little disappointing.
So sad.
I know. I mean, maybe we just haven't seen it. Like, we haven't seen that part of his AA, recovery. But yeah, there's a part of me that's like wondering how many more stories they've already hinted at, but just are waiting to dive deeper. Like, if they are going to dive deep into them at all, I'm hoping that they do.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are a lot of times where Jack's storyline comes up and I get teary eyed because this is really cheesy and everyone's going to be like, oh.
We'll end on this cheesy note.
And everyone's like, oh, but, I think of you and I think I'm like, oh my gosh, that sounds like something Dino would say, or like, that looks like something Dino would do.
Yeah.
So it's just really sweet. The other part, I know we were going to end on that note, but I want to make sure that we don't forget about this. We obviously don't condone all of the immorality, like sexual Kevin sleeping with all of those are obviously not,
I don't think
things,
you need to
but,
make that disclaimer, but I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Because I just want to make sure that like people aren't like, oh, you're just okay with them sleeping together in bed. I'm like, I mean, like, no,
not.
I'm not, but the show
the
is good
Calm
enough.
Down.
Yeah. Like to watch it. And I can distinguish like, okay, well, they're just trying to show this is society right now. And obviously,
well, and that's the character that he plays, you know.
Right,
like,
and obviously, I would not show this to my child. Yeah, like
yeah,
there's
exactly
still
exactly,
prudence
yeah.
in what we are watching. But yeah, I think it's just a very, very great show, and I love that you are my version of a Jack.
Hopefully, I don't die. With that being said, we want to say
Where's
thank
the
you.
Crock pot?
Exactly. Oh, well, way to spoil it if they haven't
gosh.
Seen it. But with that being said, we would like to say thank you so much to our editor, Nathaniel. You are a Donut Squad member and you make us sound amazing.
You make us so proud. That's my little ditty.
Oh my gosh. if you want to, you can follow us on social media. Mine is @D_Glaze for Instagram and Twitter.
Mine is @AG_Glaze on Instagram and Twitter as well.
You can go check our TCC Instagram out @IsInEffect. Use the #HolyMatrimony, holy with an E, if you want to talk about how much you hate this podcast on social media.
And please don't forget to leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps people find the show, and we really appreciate it.
And you'll hear us next Monday.
Stay holy, my friend.
Deuces.
Adios.